Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Andre Beliveau, good morning. Good to talk to you.
good morning, Dawn. Happy Monday. And you're very kind. Thanks so much.
But you are, you know, and I suspect, you know, some people might say, you know, look at your long resume and your honors, Johns Hopkins University, et cetera. But I will say that you know your stuff inside and out. And so I just wonder if we can pick your brains as to, you know, when Trump says this, he puts it into, I think, a plain, you know, everyday person's language when he talks about this. But just to, you know, give the background of this, what is Pennsylvania's, as far as our energy policy, what does it mean to the nation? And then also for Pennsylvanians and for voters here, yeah. What does it mean? And you and I have talked a lot about regulations and jobs. What does it mean if you zoom in to Pennsylvania, then zoom out nationally?
Yeah, I mean, it's Pennsylvania, literally, I mean, it's the keystone state, but it's also the keystone to American energy security and American energy dominance. And Pennsylvania is the largest exporter of power in the country. We're the second largest producer of natural gas. Our energy economy in state is a boom. It provides almost around 500,000 jobs in the Commonwealth in the energy industry. Our energy economy is the lifeblood of Pennsylvania's economy. So it is extremely important in state to Pennsylvania's economy, to our job market. And Pennsylvanians understand this. They know the role that Pennsylvania's energy industry provides, not just to the Commonwealth, but to the country. And at a time, you know, we are seeing nationwide increases of energy demand. And of course, you know, policies are leading us that way. The environmental left wants us to electrify everything. And we're seeing policies coming from Democrats. Everything needs to be electrified, which, of course, increases the demand for energy. But simultaneously, we're seeing policies from the left that are trying to decrease our capacity to deliver on that demand because policies are looking to take reliable energy sources offline out of this, you know, fever dream net zero climate radicalism that is looking to attack the oil and gas industry, which is providing reliable power while also decreasing our emissions, by the way. So it's just kind of a fun, the position we find ourselves in is, you know, even in Pennsylvania, if we look at our carbon emissions, they have decreased from a transition from coal to natural gas. And what happens from the Biden-Harris administration to Governor Josh Shapiro, they want to try to attack the very industry that's helping lower the emissions that they claim to be their goal. But of course, we know the goal is really just about propping up renewables, propping up wind and solar, where they're getting their campaign donations from. So this is where we are at. We are at an energy crossroads where, on the one hand, we can have a future where market drives our energy future and we can have American energy abundance and security, or we can have government central planning. We can have tax credits and subsidies for unreliable energy, and we can try to, use Marxism to eventually wind us up with energy poverty. And that's really what we have before us.
And so it gets confusing because fairly recently we heard about, I'm going to paraphrase it and call it safe fracking. So Governor Josh Shapiro, who's a Democrat, as well as the Democrats in general, have come out with this talking point to say, well, you know, we're not going to really cut those so-called fracking jobs or energy jobs because, you know, there's such a thing as safe fracking. And we're going to regulate it. As long as you exercise safe fracking, then it's going to be okay. And so, on one hand, what I see here, and just clarify this for me if you would. On one hand, the Biden administration, the Biden-Harris administration, Democrats, they're trying to have it both ways, if you will. On one hand, they're saying, no, we believe in climate change. We're not changing our values. But on the other hand, there's such a thing as, well, doing things the right way with all these regulations, and then fracking will be okay. And so they're still trying to court, obviously, the workers who do those jobs involving hydraulic fracturing. So what do you see here can people who are who believe that fracking, so-called, is a safe way to, you know, as well as other petroleum-related industries, but that that this is that your job is safe and with that you can trust.
And I mean the whole. The oil and gas industry. I mean, they know what they're doing. They know how to do this safely. They know how to do it well. I mean, they have an incentive as a pure business model. If you're not doing this safely and effectively, you're not going to have a successful business. So I think we just have to understand that as a business model, the oil and gas industry knows how to do it. They know how to do it well. And the American oil and gas industry, the American energy industry more broadly, I mean, we are the leader, not only in providing reliable power and energy, but doing it safely and responsibly, and we're lowering our emissions. And, you know, this is really a false dichotomy. It's not, you have to believe in climate change or you have to believe in reliable power. These things can work harmoniously. You know, we've created this false dichotomy in our political rhetoric that you have to, to believe in one, you have to get rid of the other. That's not true. We can responsibly deal with our environmental issues while ensuring that we still have energy security and abundance, that it's affordable. These things do not have to go. You know, these are not separate things. These can coexist. And I mean, in Kamala Harris, she's actually just now finally released some of her policy proposals on her website. So it looks like we're moving from a vibes election only to maybe now some policy proposals. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about her flip-flopping on fracking. But if you look on her campaign website, she's talking about her energy policy proposals. She's celebrating the energy policy record of the Biden-Harris administration, which has been a horrible energy record. She talks about the Inflation Reduction Act. Well, the Inflation Reduction Act is expected to funnel $663 billion in unreliable energy tax credits over the next 10 years. It is continuously poisoning our reliable energy markets. It's threatening grid reliability. We've talked in the past about the liquid natural gas pause that came from the Biden-Harris administration, the EPA trying to get rid of reliable power. So, you know, the record of the Biden-Harris administration is clear. It's been horrible on energy. That's being now celebrated by the Harris team. So, I mean, really, it's these proposals let's say she has changed on fracking. Let's just say that's true. It's still death by a thousand cuts to American energy with a laundry list of radical progressive policies.
Yeah, and one of those, and we talked about LNG, and I just saw recently how this is such great news for Qatar in the Middle East, right? They're picking right up. This means more business for them.
And Russia, which makes absolutely no sense. You know, we should be the focus of the world's energy. There's no reason why Americans shouldn't have energy security and independence for ourselves, but also why we shouldn't be, you know, dominating globally in the energy markets. I mean, Pennsylvania sits, many people say, the Saudi Arabia of North America. There is no reason that Pennsylvania's energy economy and America's energy economy should be booming, and our allies overseas should be looking to Pittsburgh. They should be looking to Pennsylvania and Texas, not Russia, for their energy needs. So this just makes absolutely no sense, Dawn, these policies coming from the left. It makes no sense to me.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we, in 2019, under the previous administration, that was something that we hadn't seen in more than six decades in this country. America, for the first time, was energy independent in 2019. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And is that due to hydraulic fracturing?
The boon in American energy independence and our expansion of our energy markets 100% came from the Marcellus Shale boon in Western Pennsylvania. I mean, the ability to do hydraulic fracturing to expand our ability on our natural gas resources 100%. I mean, natural gas is increasingly being able to provide baseload power, but it's reliable, it's dispatchable, it's clean, and the way we produce power, everything from downstream to upstream to the actual production of energy. I mean, American energy leads in clean energy power, and that includes our fossil fuel industry. 100%. And also, we've actually had an increase of oil and gas production under the Biden administration, which is kind of counterintuitive from the policy. So it's like we have this increase, but we can't get the product to market. The problem is that we're able to extract these resources out of the ground But we have issues with our natural gas infrastructure, our pipelines. We need more of it. But policies at the federal level, coming from mostly influenced by the progressive left, blockade our ability to expand our natural gas infrastructure. And also, weirdly enough, there's so much government red tape preventing the preventing the increase in nuclear power, which, I mean, nuclear power, if you care about our emissions, that's a no-brainer. It is the most reliable zero-carbon-emitting source that we have, yet government red tape and ridiculous progressive policies get in the way of expanding our nuclear fleet. So it's kind of, like you said, Dawn, it's like they're kind of talking out of both sides of their mouth. And the policies, their own policies are damaging what should be a boon right now, even under the current administration with the increase we've seen in our oil and gas production.
And so what about all these jobs? As far as, you know, here in Pennsylvania in particular, are these jobs already, a lot of them, gone? Can they come back?
I wouldn't say they're all gone. It's almost, it's 500,000 jobs in the Commonwealth come from our energy industry, and most of them are coming from oil and gas and also nuclear power and others. But we can certainly have more, and we should have more. We should be able, what we really need is greater infrastructure. We need permitting reform, not only in state. We definitely need our lawmakers in Harrisburg to be doing some robust permitting reform. I mean, so energy projects and environmental projects in Pennsylvania can thrive and flourish, but also at the federal level. And I think if we focus on allowing our projects to thrive by getting bad regulations out of the way, not only will this solve a lot of our energy capacity crisis, but this will maintain the jobs that we have and certainly create more jobs in the future. And it would certainly create more jobs by thinking about American energy abundance than thinking about removing energy from our grid and from production, which is what the environmental left wants to do fundamentally.
Yes. And so for you, thinking about energy, Pennsylvania, what will you be watching for as far as tomorrow for either of the candidates, Trump or Harris? What will you be watching for in their answers about policy and energy? And I imagine there will be a Pennsylvania question, but it has ramifications for the nation.
Absolutely. I mean, one, I would actually like to see the answer. If Kamala Harris has legitimately flip-flopped on fracking, I want to hear why. I think that should be articulated, why she now supports it. I think that both candidates need to be focused on their, what's their answer to some of these net zero policies? What's their answer to increased infrastructure in our natural gas? Is there going to be a reversal of this LNG pause? But really what I think needs to be answered, and both candidates should talk about this, what is the future of the Inflation Reduction Act, the green energy subsidies? That is a serious problem for affordable power in this country. And these energy tax credits need to be rolled back in the IRA. And what is their plan for that in order for us to have affordable energy? And also, what is the plan for pulling the United States out of the Paris Climate Accord? And I'd like to hear from President Trump that he would like to see that happen in Congress. I mean, if it's a congressional act and it's done by the Senate and not done by executive order, it has a lot more standing and grounding. So those are some of the things I'm going to be looking for. I'm sure they won't address all of these directly, but there are ways that I think we can tell where they're signaling on some of these policies.
Andre Beliveau, thank you so much for your insights. Really appreciate you. You can find him, follow him on Twitter, on X, @TheRealBeliveau. Thanks, Andre.
Thanks, Don.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.